I'm trying to break the vicious cycle of us eating on air.
I'm always halfway through a snack.
Always snacking. So this go around, we decided to we kind of really went on the fly with this one because we were just like, what should we do for our next topic? And this one really just jumped out at me. Because I was watching the new season of Riverdale, as one does. And afterwards, they were just like, oh, the new Nancy Drew show coming on right after it. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that was happening. Because in my mind, it's a figment of my imagination.
I also straight up forgot it was happening. Ironically, I don't know if you've been watching BuzzFeed Unsolved this season. They did an episode that was sponsored, I guess, like, by the CW for them to advertise the Nancy Drew show. And they were, like, doing a... They did, like, a true crime special one, and it was, like, sponsored by... Yeah.
I didn't know
that. It was, like... Yeah, they just did it this season. And I was like, oh, yeah, I totally forgot the Nancy Drew fucking show.
I thought you were... I just started catching up on that.
Yeah, they did. And so this episode was like a special, and they did a true crime case. Yeah, so I also forgot about it until that happened, and I was like, oh yeah. And then I started getting ads for it on my Pinterest, and I was like, sure, I guess.
Uh-oh. When you know Pinterest, it's a problem.
Pinterest is constantly dragging me. Just in ways. But yes, I have many thoughts all around in general about this topic.
I know, because you're one of my friends who really is deep into... I don't know, what the fuck are Nancy Drew fans called? What are the Nancy Drew stans called?
Drew heads.
Drunians.
Drunians.
Nancys, I don't know.
Nancys, yeah, we're called Nancys.
The Nancys. That's of the world.
The Nancys. The Nancys and the Neds.
And the Neds. Are those her gay platonic sidekicks?
Yep. We are going to talk about Ned, because I have a lot of thoughts on Ned, in general.
A lot of Ned thoughts.
Yes, and I know we have another friend who really likes Nancy Drew, and...
She does. She, like you, has played the video games, the computer games.
Oh, I played those so long ago. I don't even remember those. But, I don't know if she listens to this, but if she wants to fact-check me, she can. Because I am going to be going off my memory on all the source material. Nobody else is invited to fact-check me, just her. So, that's what I'm going to say to start this off.
And that's what I have to say about that. So,
and that's that on that, yep.
I thought it would be fun to do this because I know that you're very versed in Nancy Drew. And we've actually talked about the CW doing a Nancy Drew series before. I think we, like, briefly were just like, oh, watch the CW do, like, a crazy Nancy Drew series or something.
And make it very dark. I think we talked about Scooby-Doo. And then we kind of brought up Nancy Drew.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
I would still 1,000% love a dark Scooby-Doo reboot, but...
I would, too. Like, to take the place of Riverdale, I would love that.
Yes, 100%.
Okay, so, I really want to talk about that, because... I was going to say that I really want to talk about this topic, because I thought that it would be fun to watch the episode... Or watch the pilot, talk about it, because, you know, you're very into the whole Nancy Drew thing, but also... Just because I feel like we vaguely talked about the other one before. The, I think the movie. We've talked about the movie vaguely before. So.
Have we?
I feel like we have. abstract.
Had you seen it before?
No, I had
it. Oh, okay. All right.
So
I had seen it before, but I am so glad I rewatched it because I forgot that it slapped.
It was quite a time, I will agree.
Yeah.
But I do want to talk about the pilot because specifically it comes on after Riverdale. So I'm just like, interesting that they paired those two together. But what was so interesting about it is when I first watched it, I was like, why does this have Riverdale's aesthetic?
Well, I think it's supposed to be... not take place in the same universe, but I think it's supposed to be, like, a sister show, almost. You know, like, I think it's supposed to be, like, a complement to it, because they're going to be, like, right... They're going to air right after one another. Also, like... I have a lot of thoughts on why, like, some things worked and some things didn't, and I will say that the overall aesthetic, them, like, really borrowing that overall aesthetic from Riverdale did work for me, in my mind. I think it worked.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It didn't work. For me, it wasn't working because I was just like, look, we already have Riverdale and we already have Sabrina. I don't really need more things doing the Riverdale aesthetic because it's like, once you start doing it too much, other shows are going to continue to copy it. Now I'm like, I don't want this to become the new format. Like, it being its own thing was fine, but I don't want it to become a new format for shows.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with that. And I also think, like, part of it is I have not watched Riverdale in a long time. I don't have the energy. I don't have the strength. I haven't watched it in a long time. So, like, I think for you, like, watching them back to back, it might have been too much. And I just haven't seen it in a long time. So, like, to me, I'm like, oh, okay. It's a little bit fresher. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that in general, I think what worked for me was not necessarily that it was the same thing as Riverdale, but, like, I liked the costume design, I liked the set design, like, I liked the setting of the town. I thought it was really, like, aesthetically pleasing. I liked the way that they introduced the town and the locations and all of that. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not sure how true it is to the original. I forget. Yeah.
Well,
if she lives, like, if it, I don't know, it was just like a lot of water. And I was like, okay.
There's just a lot of water. Yeah. Okay. So I'll say this. I will let it go that Nancy Drew has a lot of the Riverdale aesthetic. They're skating on thin ice with me with it. But, I mean, I'll let it go just because, like, this is only, like, maybe the third or so show that's kind of doing that. And I'm like, sure, fine, whatever. But, in general, it also, like, it works fairly well because of the whole supernatural aspect of it. Which I really didn't see coming. I didn't realize this was going to be, like, a supernatural mystery thing. I really thought it was going to be, like, a Scooby-Doo. Oh, someone's trying to be all spooky, but they're really just using smoke and projectors.
Well, from what I do remember from the original books, I wouldn't liken it exactly to Scooby-Doo, but it was similar in that there was always... Not always, but there usually was some sort of, like, supernatural, like, there was a ghost, or there was, like, weird phenomena happening, and, like, that was the mystery that Nancy had to solve always. Like, it wasn't necessarily always, like, there's a murder. It was like, oh, there's, like, a funny sound in the stairs. Nancy, go check it out. Like, so... I think that they are, but there was always, like, a reasonable explanation for it in the end. Like, it was very, like, Scooby-Doo ending wrap-up of, like, it was the old prospector, and he wants his money back, so I'm interested to see how, you know, edgy Nancy Drew, like, wraps it up. Like, if they keep playing up this supernatural element, or if they kind of, like, because I was getting the impression that it was going to be, like, Scooby-Doo wrap-up.
Well, like,
it was gonna be like, ah, somebody just is playing tricks on you.
Well, I would have thought that up until, like, the very end.
Yeah, the ending was very interesting. Sorry, I'm
Yeah, the last, like, 5 to 7 minutes was quite a time. I was like, it really got me interested in watching a second episode, I'll be honest, because at first I was just like, I don't know, but then I saw that and I was like, yeah, I'll watch another episode, because I was like, ghosts, I think that's what I wrote in my notes, because I started writing down, like, notes on my phone, and then at the bottom I just go, ghosts, 4 exclamation points, and then 4 of the little ghost emojis.
Ghosts. I love the fact that she conveniently recorded the murder on her fucking phone. I was crying at that part. I was like, oh, you just conveniently catch a ghost on camera. All
right. Right. Okay. I have a lot of things about Nancy. So first off, I was just like... I thought it was really funny at the beginning where it was just like, Nancy was literally, like, the best girl detective. They were just like, Nancy was just amazing. She was solving mysteries left and right. And I'm just like, wow, love that for her. And then her mom just dies. I love how that. She's like, and then my favorite part was, I don't go looking in the dark anymore. Not since the darkness found me. I had to scream.
You texted me that line and I was like, oh man, we're in for something.
was just so funny because they just zoom out and then they go, Nancy Drew.
I had mixed feelings about, like, the general. Okay, I don't think they set up the exposition well. First of all, I think it was way too rushed. Like, the beginning was just like, I was popular, and then my mom died, and now I'm angsty, and I'm a waitress. And it was just like, it was like, like, just went up, went down, and
I didn't think is she a waitress?
Why is she a waitress?
Yes.
Because she didn't get into Columbia or something.
Oh, was that part of the backstory, and I wasn't paying attention?
No, she says it later, I think. Because, okay, so in the scene, this is what I'm talking about, the exposition, it was like blink and miss it. Like, she's like tip-tap typing away at her computer. She's like filling out a little application or something. And then she goes downstairs and her mom and dad are like crying at the kitchen table. That's that scene. And she's like, Mom? And then just like cuts, slam cut to funeral. And then later, she says to Nick, Ned, but Nick in this version, she's like, I wanted to believe that Columbia wasn't just a dream, but so I think her whole thing was like, oh, I was like a perfect student, I was popular, I solved all these mysteries, I was going to go to Columbia, but then my mom died, and burp.
That's why I didn't go to Columbia, my mom died.
I was like, I mean, it would make a better admissions essay. I don't know why you, like, didn't write about that at all.
Like, honestly, that was what I was just thinking. I'm like, girl, the admissions essay. The admissions.
My mom had cancer, and I love mysteries.
My mom had cancer and then died, and I love mysteries, but the biggest mystery is why she left me with this hole in my heart.
Why she left me with my asshole of a father.
Which is funny because in the movie, her dad is, like, so nice. And kind of stupid.
In the original, in the books, her dad is basically, like, a non-entity. Like, it's it's the same story where, like, her mom died very young. It's the same story as in the movie, I should say, the Emma Roberts movie. Because her mom dies when she's very young, so she doesn't even remember her. And then her dad is, like, a lawyer and is a nice guy. And, like, basically in the books, because she, like, goes a lot of different places in the books, the setting changes a lot. And in the books, like, it'll just be, like, a phone conversation with the dad where he's like, oh, Nancy, you're not getting into trouble, are ya? And she's, like, handcuffed to a radiator, like, no, Dad, I'm fine.
On her cell phone.
Yeah, her cell phone from, you know, the 1930s, which is where she's from.
I was going to say, how's she handcuffed to a radiator and answering the phone?
You know, she's Nancy Drew.
She's got super long arms.
I didn't like the dad in the pilot. I didn't like him.
I forget where he's from. Like, that actor is very recognizable as someone from, like, someone who had, like, a sitcom in the 90s or something, but I don't know.
Oh, really?
Well, at least that's how I was recognizing him. But...
I didn't like him. Didn't care for him. Loved him in the movie. We're not going to talk about the movie yet, because I'm going to get into it, but I loved him in the movie. I thought he was perfect.
I agree. So, yeah, her being a waitress is very confusing to me, and then what really was, like, what really fucking blew my mind is when she literally walked in, put her shit in the locker. Her one friend, her Asian friend, comes out and immediately starts...
Who's not her friend.
Yeah, who's not her friend. Immediately comes out and starts yelling at her. I'm just like, okay, whatever. But Nancy goes into the... What really got me is the girl was just like, Nancy, blah, blah, this table, duh. And I'm just like, okay, she just got there.
Like, just got there.
Like, literally just got there. But
well, she was late, because she was fucking.
I know. I wrote that in my notes. I was just like, oh, she's fucking a black man. Good for her.
I just wrote, Nancy fucks. In all caps.
She fucks Ned Nickerson.
It reminded me of Dynasty, where she also has the black love interest who, like,
oh, true,
is like, you know, she is like her fuck buddy, but also cares about her.
Yeah, the CW is very hung up on the whole Ebony and Ivory storyline.
Oh, absolutely. And then the dad was fucking the black cop. I was like, hello? What's going on here?
Can we get a different interracial combination?
Yeah, for real.
Just any other one. Anyway, so, no, what I was thinking about, or what I was trying to say was, like, when she walked in and was like, taking this thing to whatever table she was supposed to take it to. Homegirl picked up some, like, garnish or whatever that she was supposed to put on the plate, put it on there, and put some shit on top of the soup. Did not wash her hands. I was like, immediately never eating at this establishment. That bitch came in after fucking at a garage, a motor garage, and did not wash her hands. Who knows what I'm getting?
Oh my god, that's so true. Oh my god, she came straight from that dick to the restaurant. Like, didn't even go to the bathroom. She didn't even, Nancy, you gotta pee after. Everybody knows that. You're gonna get a fucking UTI or some shit. I would love if, like, episode 2, she just, like, had a UTI.
No, halfway through the season, she find out she's pregnant. Honestly, fucking Nick, after that reveal of him going to jail, he was, like, really hung up on that fact. He was just like, what, is it because I went to jail? And I'm just like, bruh, no one said anything about that. Are you okay?
I was expecting him to just be like, is it because I'm black?
Honestly, that's what you're expecting. The way he, like, poses the fact that he went to jail, he makes it seem like it's, like, because he's black.
Yep.
I'm like, well, now that you pose the whole jail thing, it's like, no, I think it might be because you went to jail. I mean, you do keep bringing it up a lot, so I do have to start to think. Maybe it is because you went to jail.
But yeah, no, the funniest line was him just being like, she's like, well, you never told me that. And he's like, it's one of the many things you didn't ask. And I'm like, how long have they been fucking, first of all? That was not established, that he, like, is demanding all this stuff from her. I'm like, I thought you were just, like, fuck buddies. Why are you, I don't know.
I know,
their relationship was set up very weird.
Everyone has beef with Nancy for no reason. It seems like he has beef with her because they're, like, fucking, but I guess he wants to be more. And then the Asian girl is just like, you made up rumors about me in high school. And I'm like, did she? And then by the end, and I'm just like, were they even fucking rumors, bitch? Because it seems like you might just be a fucking hoe. That's what it is.
I liked her, I think, the most, maybe? I liked George, but then at the end, they had her sleeping with the old guy. And I was like, ew, why?
I know, because he's kind of ugly. But also, I love homeboy at the end being a narc. Who was like taking
Oh, no.
I was just like, oh, he's a narc. I'm like, that's funny.
That came out of nowhere.
It really did. So it's like my new favorite storyline. Because it's so stupid. I'm a narc. And I work as a dishwasher / cook.
I'm the town gossip. Yeah, I thought, you know, now that we're talking about this, I feel like that in general, it could have used more, like, whimsy, maybe? And that's what would have set it apart from Riverdale, is that, like, Riverdale is just, like, edgy teen show, and, like, I think that... with this one, they could have, like, made it more, like, intrigue, like, mystery intrigue, because that's really what's appealing about the Druniverse, as we've stated. You know, it is Scooby-Doo-like, but, you know, it's mystery, and it's, you know, like, I don't care about Nancy's, like, weird little relationship with this guy, like, I don't know.
True. I don't care about that either. That's why I said the whole last, like, 5 to 7 minutes was so interesting. Because they were showing all this shit about these characters. And I'm like, oh.
Well, okay, let me say what my problem is with Bess and George. Because in the original, Bess is basically the Duff. She's little chubby Bess, and she is kind of like, from what I can remember, she is kind of like ditzy and like whatever, and it's kind of one of those, like, she's very sidekicky to Nancy, who's super smart and capable. And then Bess is kind of just like, whoa, Nancy, what does that mean? Kind of, like, sidekicky. So I could see how they would want to, like, make her character a little bit different, but I didn't like the whole, like, oh, I'm, like, a ditzy pretty girl who wears, like, sweaters. Like, meh. Like, I didn't appreciate...
I wear penny loafers.
Yeah, I didn't love that. And George is a dyke, and that's that. Because in the original, she is a tomboy who, in the 1930s, she's a tomboy. So, like, to be a 1930s tomboy, that's, you're a lesbian. Like, you're just gay. It's like,
that's what that means.
Yeah, I always felt like that was just code for she was gay. And they kind of have, like, the whole thing about Nancy being friends with them is part of why she's so appealing, because she is, in canon, this, like, straight-A student who is super, like, good at everything. You know, she's athletic, but she's also book smart, but she's also, you know, I think at one point she, like, was prom queen or something. So, like, that's all canon. But then her friends are, like, Dykey George and the Duff, like...
She's the Sabrina of the Druniverse. Her friends are the quirky outcasts.
Yeah, exactly. And she is kind of a quirky outcast, but she's also, like, perfect on paper sort of a thing. So...
What a weird trope that is.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's kind of, like, what Buffy's thing was. It's, like, on paper, she was, like, she should have been, like, the popular homecoming queen, but she was a vampire slayer, so, you know, she couldn't actually do that.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good comparison. Like, Buffy's character archetype is very Nancy Drew. It's, like, the same character.
Huh. Archetype. I never really thought about it.
Like, not the same character, but the same character build.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Huh. It really makes you think.
Yeah, it makes you think. So, I didn't like what they did with Bess in the edgy version. I keep calling it the edgy
Do you know
version.
What I think what their leg up on Riverdale will be? Is the fact that if they decide to fully commit to doing this whole supernatural aspect, they could do that. Because Riverdale won't do that. It'll be like, oh no, all of these things have some type of human practicality to them. Mm-hmm. It's like, if they have the supernatural aspect, they can do that.
Yeah. I don't know, and, you know, Riverdale is it's a teen drama. It's a character drama.
Mm.
And... that's its appeal. Whereas, like, with Nancy Drew, it's like, you're doing a mystery show. You're doing a murder mystery show, essentially. So, I think that, yeah, they just have to play more into that, you know, whether or not, you know, it's supernatural or... which I definitely think they could go in that direction, and it would be super interesting. Yeah.
Are we ready for that on the CW?
I am. I think we've been ready.
We've been ready. Okay, so let's talk about the movie. Let's blast back to 2007.
No, I wanted to... Well, let me just look at my notes really quick, because... the other thing that was so funny was the photoshopped photo that she's holding of her and her mom, and her mom's like fully like cancer ridden, and she's got like a cap on, she's in a hospital bed, it's this photoshopped. I laughed out loud, like it was so funny. I wish I'm gonna go back and take a screen grab of it. It was so hilarious. It was just so badly done. I was like, all right.
I love bad Photoshop. We on this channel, on this podcast.
Again, this is a YouTube channel.
We stand bad Photoshopping.
We do. We do. That's true.
Ugh. Remember the Teen Wolf season one DVD art?
What?
I said, remember the Teen Wolf season one DVD art?
Yes.
Ugh, so bad.
Oh, God, I miss Teen Wolf. See, Teen Wolf did it all first. They just did. They had it all. They had relationship drama, character drama, supernatural shit. Like, I feel like they were just doing it.
And then they burned out real fast.
That's true. The other thing I wanted to say with Riverdale versus Nancy Drew, I think the reason I, like, overall I was less than enthused about the Nancy Drew pilot, but I was like, okay, the reason that Riverdale is actually, like, I'm not gonna say good, but, like, the reason I think that it's gone on so long and it was so strong, especially in the beginning, was because they kept the characters, like, pretty, like, they edged everybody up, obviously, and pulled it into modern times, but they definitely kept those, like, character archetypes in squarely in place, and everybody's dynamic was, like, set, and everybody's character was set, and so they just kind of, like, took that and ran with it and made it edgy and modern. And I think with Nancy Drew, the slippery slope that could happen is them getting a little too far from what made the original source material good, especially with the characters.
Yeah.
So,
because they seem to have changed everything and every, now they're just a ragtag group of ethnic pals.
I did appreciate there was, like, at least, you know, one more person of color than there is on Riverdale.
I know. There is an Asian, a black guy, and a Hispanic girl. Well,
is she Hispanic, Bess?
I think she is.
She's also, like, she's just, like, lesser Veronica. Like, yeah. I was like, this is just, you're just doing Veronica again. Like, why are you doing this? Like, anyway.
Except she's crazy because she stole the ring.
She's crazy.
Steals a wedding ring from a corpse.
Yeah. I also don't think that, I didn't like Nancy.
And that
disappointed me. I was like, I love her. She is one of my favorite characters in literature of all time. And I did not like her in this iteration. And maybe I will as the season goes on. And I also don't think that this show is going to get much farther. I think it might go to season 2, but I don't think we're going to see the traction that Riverdale did.
That's fair. I was going to say, I'm like, are you going to continue to watch? Because I'll probably give it 2 more episodes.
Oh, I'm going to watch the whole season. I'm going to watch it. Like, I am going to watch it because I'm such a fan of this universe, and I am interested in general to see where they're going with at least the, like, the supernatural stuff. I definitely want to see how, like, where they take the mystery, but I don't know. I was so less than enthused with it all, I think.
You know what? How about we commit to watching the whole season, and then we'll check back in later on in our own season, maybe do a follow-up episode where we're like, we checking back in with Nancy Drew, where we watch the whole fucking season. I think that'll be fun.
No, I definitely will commit to watching the season and seeing what we think after it's done.
So let's talk about a Nancy Drew I actually did enjoy. I actually enjoyed Emma Roberts' Nancy Drew.
Like I said, I'm just so fucking glad that I watched this again, because what a good time. Like, what? Like, it was entertainment. It was amazing.
It was. It was very entertaining.
And they got Nancy right. Nancy was great. She was likable, but, you know, weird and a good protagonist.
She was just that weird girl who likes mysteries. And I like the fact that they put her in this kind of modern California setting where, like, people are like, you're so out of your touch of time.
Yeah. Which was fun. Which was a fun way to do modern Nancy. You know, like, it's like, okay, she's, like, weird and old-fashioned.
Yeah.
Like, that's a fun way to pull her into the modern world, I felt like. Can we talk about the cast for, like, 5 seconds? Because this cast, it was just constant, like, oh, that person. Like, every scene was like, oh, that person.
in the fashion of much thousands films.
Yeah, which was great. It started off with Chris Kattan.
I know. I immediately was like, Chris Kattan? Wow, what a movie.
He was in it for about 2 minutes playing a gay criminal, and I was like, this is great.
He was in it for 2 minutes playing himself.
a drag on Chris Kattan. So that's how you knew. I feel like that being the start of the movie, I was like, I know that we're in for a good time. Like, here we are.
We're in for quite a ride.
And then I also definitely wrote down in all caps, I'm Barbara Barbara of Barbara Barbara Ritty. Because that line was amazing. That lady was hilarious, and she delivered that line so well.
You actually don't have any more housing options in your price point. Okay, bye!
She was like, see you later. Isn't this ghost house hilarious? she was great. Yeah, and then pretty much, I mean, like, just even down to, like, there were those, like, bit characters that we saw for, like, 30 seconds. Even that, like, file clerk lady. She was, like, everybody was just giving it their best performance. And then, there was just random Bruce Willis appearance.
As himself
shooting a movie.
What a ride.
That was amazing.
What I really enjoyed about this movie is when it comes to kids, or I'm not going to say kids movies, I'll say family movies. When it comes to family movies, you're always expecting them to be, like, cheesy and, like, boring. You know, every once in a while you'll be surprised with, like, Pixar films and they'll, you know, be an entertaining ride. But with this, I really was just expecting it to be, like, kind of cheesy in the fashion that, you know, a Nancy Drew 2000 something movie would be, but this was just a fun ride, and it was entertaining. But what was weird was the opening and ending credits.
Oh, I enjoyed them.
They're so bizarre.
I enjoyed them.
They do not fit the movie at all. They're so bizarre.
I think they were trying to do, like, pay homage to the original book illustrations.
I got that's what they were doing. I just thought it was very weird the way that they did it. Because it wasn't, like, animated in the sense where she was, like, moving and doing stuff, and they were, like, doing the titles with it in the, you know, like, in the fashion of something like the Bewitched title. Oh, yeah, even that. I was going to say, like, the Bewitched titles. But it was just, like, black and white and, like, semi-sinister. And then it just had, like, yellow words. It was just, like, very...
Somebody definitely phoned it in with that. It was literally, like, it was just, like, screen caps of the movie. And then they just put a Photoshop filter on top of them. And then they just were, like, choose a quirky font. Okay, type. Here we go.
Somebody literally... I feel like what it was is they paid somebody to do the actual titles, but then that person didn't do it, and they were like, we need titles for the movie! And then someone just did it.
Somebody's, like, 12-year-old daughter had Photoshop on their laptop.
This will be your first movie credit, honey!
We just need you to do this, okay?
So I definitely want... So, when I was trying to figure out where I could watch this movie, first off, I was just looking at Amazon and, like, all of the streaming services I do have to see if it was available. It was not. I would have had to have rented it for, like, $2 from Amazon, which I was not doing. Yeah. So, I ended up watching it for free on Vudu. But before I did that, I went on to Amazon looking to see... Again, I went on there looking to see if I could watch it for free. And I found this review that was written last year, December 2nd of last year, actually. 2 out of 5 stars.
How dare they?
Review. The review title is Disobedient Liar Gets in Trouble, Cute Clothes. That's the title.
That's a summary.
So this person said, this person, Lady Liberty, and that's T-E-A, as in the actual drink. I preview movies before gifting them. I never read the Nancy Drew series, so I don't know if this modern redux has made Nancy more of a lying, disobedient daughter who could have been injured or killed by her few foolish character. That's just the beginning. Hold on now. So though I can't give this to young people, I can at least say positively that this very experienced young actress performs well, similar to an Abigail Breslin. Her retro outfits are cute, like an old Doris Day movie. She tries to role model. Okay. She tries to role model high standards for her diet, grooming, and social consequences. Or consciousness, sorry. And instead of caving to peer pressure or bullying, she is true to herself and sets her own individualist style and interests. Or sets her own. Why is this sentence structure weird? Anyway. At least
it's an Amazon review.
It's true. Okay.
Have you ever read one of those?
I don't read them often, honestly. I just look at the numbers and see what's wrong. I'll skim for problems.
Me too, but they're usually a trip.
At least the bonus feature, The Making Of, debunks her mythical prowess for young people to see, not to try this at home. So I'm really just gagged on the fact that they called her a disobedient liar.
I hate to break it to this woman, but that is true to canon. So.
Nancy Drew is a fucking liar.
She is, and I think she's a great role model, so.
She does it for all the right reasons, kids. She said.
She tries to, you know, solve the truth. To serve justice.
She wants to help people, and she did end up helping this woman in the movie.
Can we talk about how that was Rachel Lee Cook? I like screamed. I was like, Rachel Lee Cook.
I know. I said the same thing. I was just like, what the fuck?
That was great. Also, I love how she found her and immediately stopped searching for any of the other. Like names on the list because she was like, oh yeah, you vaguely look like her and you were adopted. I'm like, there were a million names on your list. You could have, like, there could have been other possibilities of adopted children who vaguely looked like a white woman from the 70s.
And then she was just like, yes, I am her.
Pretty much. And then they took her kid away.
I texted you like two or three times about that while I was watching this movie. I was like, they literally got this woman's child taken away. Like, these consequences in this movie are too much. There was a bomb. Like, it was a comically placed bomb, but there was just a bomb.
Oh yeah, these were real, real high stakes for Nancy and her friends. Yeah, and I loved how the end was her being reunited with her kid, set to Like a Star by Corinne Bailey Ray.
Girl, the soundtrack really had me reeling.
The soundtrack was amazing.
Just when I thought the movie couldn't get any more ridiculous, a song on the soundtrack would play, and I'm like, wow, we're really going there, aren't we?
We're really in 2007, aren't we?
I really don't, I don't even remember what the very end credit song was, but I was just like, what is this?
Oh, I love that song. Now I can't remember it either. But that's actually a good song that I enjoy. I also love that Ned called it postpartum depression when she was done the case and she was sad. He was like, postpartum depression. I was like, not what that is, buddy. Not what that is.
Who wrote this line? Okay. Who let him be an idiot?
Yeah, see, my thoughts on the character of Ned are that the reason Ned worked in the source material was that this movie got pretty much everyone's character right, except for the fact that, like, Bess and George were not in it, which upsetting, but whatever. What are you gonna do? The reason that he works in the source material is because she really, like, flat out ignores him. Like, again, it's, like, similar to the dad, where it's, like, this phone call, and Ned's like, oh, what are you up to, Nancy? Like, I miss you. And she's like, yeah, no, just, you know, on a boat with some pirates, you know, see you later. Like, totally just, like, and he's, like, he's kind of dorky, and she's, like, way, 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 way cooler than him, and it's kind of, like, why is she dating him? And I feel like that's what works about Ned in the original, is that it's just kind of like Nancy's out of his league, but she likes him anyway. It's kind of like her friends. Like, it's like, why does she hang out with them? And it's like, because internally she is a dork also. She just is also really good at stuff.
I need an aged up version of this where, like, the dorky version of Ned is played by someone, like, really ridiculous, like Jay Baruchel.
Oh, God. Well, the guy who plays Ned in the movie is... He's really cute now, and he's been in stuff.
Max... I think it's Max Thoreau or something.
Let me look.
He's been in a lot of movies I enjoy.
Yes, yes, it's this guy.
He was also on Bates Motel.
Yeah, he's pretty hot now.
Yep, he is.
Ned got a glow up. Good for you, Ned. You are hella cute now. Okay, the second photo on his IMDb, when you scroll over, is him from the Nancy Drew movie. And it's him with, what's her name?
Oh, fucking what's her face's... Fuck it, the sister from Victorious.
The sister from Victorious, who was fantastic in this movie.
I honestly screamed when I saw her. I was just like, oh my god. She was in this first, I think. Or was she in Victorious first, and then this was...
No, she was... This was definitely before Victorious, right? Victorious was, like... I don't know what year, but...
I don't either.
I think it was later.
Was it 20 minutes ago? I feel like it was 20 minutes ago.
It was last week. That's the reason I thought this was a Nickelodeon movie, by the way, was the cast, because you had, she was in it, you had, Kay Panabaker was playing, George, maybe, one of the friends.
Really?
And, yeah, she's in it for, like, 2 seconds, but it's Kay Panabaker, and then I just felt like it was, like, a Nickelodeon, like, cast. I don't know, I think that's why I thought it was a TV movie.
Hmm.
But anyway, it was not.
It wasn't. It definitely... I mean, I can understand why you would think it was because of the cast, but, I mean, it was just a little too high budget for me for Nickelodeon.
Yeah, no, I'm glad they had the budget that they did, because the, like, general production design was so good and so on brand with the general aesthetic that I feel like Nancy Drew deserves.
Hey, if you want to do Nancy, like, you can't do her cheap.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hey, those penny loafers ain't cheap.
Those vintage 70s clothes. Yeah, they were great. All her wardrobe was pretty great. Yeah, and then also the end where Rachel Lee Cook just fucking opens a...
Women's shelter?
Yeah, a women's shelter,
essentially. Essentially a women's shelter specifically for single mothers, while Just and Like a Star plays.
Yep, and she tells Barbara to fuck off.
She's just like, I'm gonna keep the house, and we're gonna turn it into a single woman shelter. I wonder how it is. Just like a stunt.
Oh, it was great. It was great.
Just like oil on my hands.
Oh, God.
Oh, that soundtrack really just killed me.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now because I'm trying to find the,
Oh, what that other song was?
The song at the end of the...
Yeah, and then I sent that to you last night, and you were like, 2002? I'm like, I don't know what's going on with that.
This is not it.
That's not it.
That's definitely not it.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Are you absolutely positive?
I'm pretty sure. Nope, alright. It's not on here. Oh, also Dare by Gorillaz was definitely in the movie.
That's what it was. Well, not that, but yeah, that did happen. That was also funny. Yeah,
that was in it. It's not on the soundtrack, so I don't think this is the whole soundtrack.
That's the thing, is like the official soundtrack versus like the soundtrack of what was in the movie is like always different.
Yeah. And that's why we're going to go back to IMDb. Good times. But yeah, no, I thought overall I would highly recommend. And the dad was from Stuff, right? He was also... Right? What is that dad from? He's in Stuff.
He's in a lot of random things.
Yeah.
I don't think, like... He's been a villain in a few things. But in this movie, really? I was just like... Well, yeah, that's why I was, like, surprised to see him in this movie in, like... not a villain role, because I feel like most of the time I've seen him, it's been in a villainous role.
Yeah.
Also, I was just like, oh, he actually looks cute in this movie.
Yeah, he was a little bit dilfy, I'll admit. He was just a little bit. This is the song.
Oh, yeah. When Did Your Heart Go Missing, or whatever the hell that song's called.
Rooney.
Yeah. But it's all called right. When Did Your Heart Go Missing, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's by Rooney. Yeah. That came on. I was like, yeah! 2007! ow. Why am I always injuring myself while we're recording? Like, just... somehow, I am not doing anything. I am sitting in a chair, and I am somehow always managing to injure myself.
I mean, it's just for the fun. It's just for the... It's for the on-air aesthetics.
Yeah, it is. It is. But yeah, I wish this movie was on Netflix or something.
I do, too. Maybe I'll just...
I would watch it again.
Maybe I should just get it on DVD. That way I can just watch it whenever I want.
Oh, you absolutely should. Definitely go in the collection.
Well, I think that was a good place to end the episode, is on the song that was in the credits where I was just like, what the fuck?
If this were a YouTube channel, we should have done what they did with the credits, and it's just... our faces drop.
Very sinister, like. The God. Images get progressively more disturbing.
Yep. Yeah, so tune back in when we watch the entirety of Nancy Drew season 1.
Yeah, it'll be a fun time, I'm sure.
I mean, I'm definitely interested in watching more, but I'm also overall disappointed with what they've done so far with this with these beloved characters.
With your beloved George, you mean?
My beloved wife, George, yes.
So, what's the next episode gonna be?
Well, we can do the topic that we skipped in honor of doing this episode, which was Halloween movies.
Oh, true. Yes.
Yes, which I am still compiling a list of, so glad we did not do that this week.
Yeah, I feel like my Halloween movies are always the same, so I'm going to have to, like, actually go look at a list this time so that I can... I want to be a little bit more diverse than usual. Most of them I feel like are going to be DCOMs. Number one.
Well, that's totally fair.
Number one, Don't Look Under the Bed.
Don't Look Under the Bed. A classic.
A classic I'll talk about every year.
Yep. Yeah, I'm just writing them down as I think of them, basically, so it'll be interesting.
We'll see what results come.
Yeah, basically.
Anyway.
I'm gonna put the 2007 Nancy Drew on the list.
My favorite Halloween movie, Nancy Drew.
Nancy Drew, 2007.
Well, yep. Anyway, as always, thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Bye.